each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and I am sitting in, as usual, for Father Anthony here, as I do on most Mondays, on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And we are already in the second week of Advent. Can you believe it, people? 2 weeks till Christmas. And as I am sure many of you have started to do, people are out doing their Christmas shopping. They're starting to go the wrapping and the last minute food buying and everything else. And the stores are filled with shoppers and people out to see the lights in the malls. And, you know, it's interesting. There was a woman who about 60 or 70 years ago in Italy founded a new Catholic lay movement. Her name was Chiara Lubich. And she had a very sort of prophetic idea for trying to live the gospel. She and a group of her friends during the Second World War, you know, decided one day, what if people actually really lived what the gospel says? What if they really actually did it like on a day-to-day basis and they didn't just read about it or hear about it on Sundays and then forget about it for the rest of the week? What if people actually lived like this every single day? So she and a group of her friends founded a movement called the Focolare, which means the family hearth or the family fire in Italian. But the actual canonical name in the Catholic Church for the Focolare is the Work of Mary. And they try to do what Mary did with Jesus, which is to bring people into contact with Jesus, help people get to know Jesus and to love him and to follow his teachings, which we believe will bring peace and unity to the world. So one of the things that Chiara Lubich noticed when she was on a trip to Zurich, Switzerland, a couple weeks before Christmas, probably just about this time, she was walking through, and if you've ever been to Switzerland or to Germany, you know, boy, they go all out for Christmas, and they have these Christkindl markets, and they're just beautiful. And she was looking in all the shop windows, and there were elves, and there were Santas, and there were angels. There was probably not an elf on the shelf, but there might as well have been. But she couldn't see a picture of Jesus anywhere. There was no Jesus. And she came home and she said, this is crazy. They've kidnapped Jesus. He's gone. And so she decided to start something called the Baby Jesus Project. And children all over the world in the Focolare movement, from Paris and Rome and Zurich, Switzerland, to Bombay, to Mexico City, to right here in Chicago, for weeks now, children all over the world have been preparing small little plaster, very beautiful plaster figurines of the Christ child and putting them in little baskets. And so they go, and what the stores won't do, these children will do, which is put Jesus back into Christmas. And so a couple of weeks before Christmas, they go out to the shopping malls and they give images of the Christ child to shoppers. And they say, would you like to take Jesus home for Christmas? And it's a wonderful thing. Kids all over the world do it. And it's going to be happening this year, this Saturday, December 15th. And here to tell us all about it are three fifth graders from St. Luke's School in River Forest, Illinois. Their names are Yana Cape. Welcome, Yana.
Oh, thank you.
Their names are Francis Fiorito. That name may sound familiar to you, our second guest. Welcome,
Hi.
Francis. Francis Hi. Is my daughter, listeners, in case those of you who didn't make the connection. And Isabella Kieberlein. Welcome, Isabella.
Good morning.
Did I pronounce your name correctly? Your last
yes.
name? Kieberlein. See, that's very good. So we are going to start out by talking a little bit about this Baby Jesus Project. and the group that sponsors it, which was founded by Kiara Lubick, called The Gen. So, Francis, let's start with you, because I think of the three of you here, you've probably been involved with this the longest. Tell me about The Gen. What is it?
So, The Gen is a Catholic group. There's two little sections of it. There's Gen 4 and there's Gen 3. Gen 4 is the younger girls and boys.
And boys, right.
And the Gen 3 is the older girls and boys.
And what kind of things do you do in The Gen? Because you don't just do the Baby Jesus Project in The Gen, right? There's other things that you do throughout the year. Tell me about some of the things that you do if you're a Catholic kid and you want to join The Gen group.
Well, the Baby Jesus Project is a big part of it, but it's not all we do.
Right, because in the summer, like, you go up sometimes to a farm where some sisters live
and
some
Villaretta.
Elderly people, and you help the elderly people and take care of the animals on the farm with the sisters who live up there. So you do all sorts of kind of fun things. But what's kind of the main point of being in The Gen? Why would a kid join it? Like, what would you go to learn about if you were in The Gen?
It's really to learn more about Jesus and to act like him.
Right.
And to...
What's like a fun way that they might teach you how to do that in The Gen?
Well, we do play games, and sometimes it's just like apples to apples and stuff like that.
Right, like
but we also watch videos, and we also make up our own games just to learn more about Jesus and to be able to act more like
him.
Isn't
there something really cool that involves a cube?
Oh, yeah. So
tell us about that. What's that cube called?
So The Gen has a cube of love, and so... It's this big cube, and on each face of the cube, there's little acts of love that you can do. So one face says, like, love your enemies. The other says, be the first to love.
Right. So it's like a dice die almost, right?
Yeah.
Like a dice. So you roll this in the morning if you're a kid in The Gen, and then you try to live out that virtue for the day, right? So if you get be the first to love, what's an example of being the first to love? If you rolled that this morning... And I said, Francis says, oh, Mom, I got the be the first to love today. What would that mean for your day?
So here's an example. If your mom is unpacking groceries from the car and it's really cold out there, but you have like three other sisters and they won't help, you can be the first to love by going out there and helping her with all the groceries.
Wow. That's a very nice thing. I like that example as your mom. I think that would be a wonderful thing to help with the groceries. But doing an act of love can also mean kind of a bigger thing like the Baby Jesus Project. So, Isabella, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in doing this special act of love at Christmas time.
Well, my dad is involved with the Catholic, like, group at my school. And he brought it to my attention that we were doing this. And immediately I thought it would be super fun to do. But it would still be doing something good for the people.
Right. And so what do you, you know, tell me what it is that you do. So your dad said, Isabel, I'm signing you up to do this Baby Jesus Project. What's sort of step one in doing the Baby Jesus activity every year?
Well, first we pour the plaster into little Baby Jesus molds.
So you actually make these figures that you're going to give out.
Yes, we
do. The kids make them themselves. Mm-hmm. The adults don't do it. Okay,
no.
That's really cool. All right. And so you pour plaster.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we let it dry. And once we take it out, we make little boxes for them.
Right.
And we just package them and we put little ribbons on them and stuff.
So it looks really pretty.
It looks
like Jesus.
So it looks really nice.
Yeah, like Jesus is actually in a little creche. And then usually the ones I've seen that you girls have made have a little like Christmas message on it that says, you know, it would really be good if you thought about this Christmas time and Jesus loves you and he's a part of Christmas too. Francis, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, so we usually do not make the baskets, but this year we did because we ran out of them.
We ran out. We had to make so many. That's right.
Yeah.
But where do the baskets come from
sometimes?
The
baskets come from, usually they come from the Philippines.
Right. The kids in the Philippines make the baskets.
Yes, and so the molds come from Italy.
Mm-hmm. So it's really an international, and then the hay comes from Mexico. So it's really a very international project. And that kids from all the different countries contribute to putting all these things together. And so, Yana, well, speaking of the Philippines, because Yana Cape, you have family in the Philippines. I know you've visited many, many times.
Yes.
Tell me how you got involved in the Baby Jesus Project and tell me what you like about it.
So I got involved in the Baby Jesus Project because I'm friends with Francis here. And it was actually, so during Christmas time, he invited me to go and do the Baby Jesus Project, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of kids, you know, come into being involved in the GEN or doing the Baby Jesus Project, is that a friend invites them. A friend says, hey, we're going to be doing this. And the neat thing about St. Luke Parish School, where you all go, is that your principals, your co-principals, and your pastor, Father John, and your associate pastor, Father Stephen, said, hey, will St. Luke School will kind of be one of the centers to do the Baby Jesus Project this year, because we're so close to a big shopping mall in downtown Oak Park that it would be really easy for us to do it. And we have a nice big hall where we can make the figurines. And our art teacher, Miss Zanger, and our sixth grade teacher, Miss McSorley, were so interested. They had their classes make Baby Jesus figures. So we made a lot of figures. Francis, how on average, how many figurines do we give out every year for Baby Jesus Project?
Well, it's a lot. Yes. We give out,
I think last year it was close to 300.
Yeah.
In about 2 hours.
But we give them out so quickly. We try to make as many as we can.
Right.
In the shortest amount of time.
Right. Because Isabella, people really like this, don't they? When you're out in the shopping mall, tell me about the first time that you did it. Were you nervous to go and say to just a complete stranger, hi, would you like a baby Jesus? Or did you feel confident because the other kids were around you? Tell me, what was that like for you?
Well, the first time I actually gave one to someone, I was super nervous to see what they would say. But then once I started giving more out, I saw that more and more people were giving me smiles. Mm. And it made me feel really good about what I was doing. So then I became more comfortable with it.
Yeah. And people, sometimes it makes people just so happy. And I remember one time, I think when you girls, the three of you, were maybe in third grade, and I was kind of, the adults aren't involved in it, but we are there to supervise the kids and, you know, be there if they need anything. And so I was sort of watching from the sidelines, and you walked up to two kind of older women who were walking by. And at first they said no. And then, you know, I think one of you said, there's no money for them. They're free. Would you just like to take one? And so one of them took it, and then they looked at it and realized what it was. Then both of them came back and took figurines. And one of them, I remember, she had little tears in her eyes, and she gave us $20 for the collection that we were taking. So let's talk a little bit about that, because of course, we don't charge any money, do we? Francis, is there any money charge for these?
Well, no.
Yes, but sometimes people, they are just so filled with joy. It makes them so happy, right? Like Isabella was just saying, it made them so happy that you were giving them this, that they want to give something back in return. And so every year we do what? Yana.
So we have a donation box.
Right.
And basically what we say is, they're free. You don't have to pay anything for them. But if you would like, you could donate some money into this donation box.
Right.
And the money goes to some different country that needs help.
Right. So where have we given? Right. So usually we look for a country that where there's really something, you know, really horrible going on at that time. So I know there was, what was the situation in the Philippines when we donated the funds to the Philippines? There was a typhoon? Was that it? There was a typhoon. And then one year I know in Haiti, we gave funds to the children in Haiti. And this year, the funds are going to be going to children in Syria, which is very war-torn country, and the children there have very little. So again, for those of you listeners who might be inclined to come out to either of the two locations where we'll be giving out the baby Jesuses, that'll be at the old Water Tower downtown on Michigan Avenue, not in front of Water Tower Place, the mall, but in front of the old Water Tower. And for those of you who live in the near western or western suburbs, we'll be at the Oak Park Mall at the corner of Westgate and Marion. And we'll be giving out the figurines there right inside the Oak Park Mall, which is so beautiful at this time of year. So we have two, because we have so many kids now wanting to do it, we had to split up into two different locations. And so that's where we're going to be this year. And we're going to be starting at about noon on Saturday the 15th. And we'll be there as long as we have figurines left, we'll stay there. Normally in a couple of hours, Everyone, we have such interest in it. We get, I don't want to say get rid of them, but so many people want to take the baby Jesuses that they don't last very long. So if you are interested, you got to be there early if you really want a baby Jesus figurine that the children have made for you. And then what's really special about this is that while the kids are making them, they're praying for the person who gets them. Isabel, have you made any of them this year? Or I know you have in previous years.
Yeah, I did help out a lot this year. I helped take them out of the molds, and I helped decorate the little boxes and make them.
Wow. And so how long does it take you to make an average figurine? How long would you say?
So once we pour them into the molds and they dry, it can take anywhere from like an hour to 24 hours.
Right.
And, but then like afterwards, the box, that'll take like, I don't know, 7 minutes or 10.
Right. Because those are custom created boxes. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really another beautiful thing about this, listeners, is not only do the children make the figurines, the little crush box that you'll get with your baby Jesus is also custom and handmade by the children themselves. So, Yana, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I think that the baby Jesus thing is really very kind of personal because we all add our own things. We try to make the baby Jesus's in the manger the very best we can. We don't just stuff some hay into a box.
Yeah, it's done very carefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the baby Jesus, if it doesn't come out perfectly, we just carve out the hair.
Right.
Sometimes we even dye some of them.
And right.
We shave down the back of the baby Jesus so that it's smoother.
Right. So it's almost like a not quite a hand-carved item because they're plaster, but there's really a lot of detail and care that goes into preparing each one of them. And then the children, of course, are often praying for the person who's going to get that figurine that they have a very blessed Christmas. So, well, it's time, believe it or not, we have already gotten to our first break. We're going to go to our first break now. But when we come back, listeners, please do stay tuned. We're going to continue our conversation with Yana and Francis and Isabella about the Baby Jesus Project, an international project of the Focolare movement that's going to be happening in the Chicago area this Saturday. So please don't go away. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The organ creates the soundtrack for the liturgy. The organ is called the King of the Instruments because of its majesty and power. You can help restore the great organ at St. Stanislaus Kostka by attending an organ recital Sunday, January 13th at 3 p.m. at St. Stan's, featuring the works of little-known Polish composers. The organist is Jeremy Kilbasa, a descendant of one of the founders of the parish, Peter Kilbasa. Your free will offering will go toward the organ's restoration. Sunday, January 13th at 3 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in, as ever, for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And we are talking with 3 fifth graders from St. Luke's School in River Forest, Illinois, about an upcoming international event called the Baby Jesus Project, which is going to be happening this Saturday, December 15th. starting at about 12 noon in two locations in front of the old Water Tower, downtown near Water Tower Place on Michigan Avenue and Chestnut Street, and in the Oak Park Mall, which is roughly located at Lake Street and Harlem Avenues. We'll be inside the mall area itself to keep the kids away from the traffic, but we'll be at the corner of Lake Street and Westgate, Marion and Westgate, rather. And we'll be there, and we'll be there from about 12 noon till about 2 p.m., giving away beautiful, handmade figurines of the child Jesus. And for about the last three or so weeks, the kids have been at St. Luke Parish School have been really busy making these figurines. You heard a little bit about that in our first segment. Not just making the figurines with great care, but also the little baskets, the little crush figure carrying things that carrying things. That's not a very professional way to put that. But the containers for the child Jesus, and then the children stand in the shopping malls all around the world. So this is going to be happening from Rome and Bombay and Paris and in Peru. Lima, Peru does a wonderful job. They do some very interesting things there with their figurines. All over the world, kids are going to be participating in this Baby Jesus project. And so, Isabel, let's go back to you. You before the interview, when we were kind of talking about what you might like to share, you really had some very beautiful things to say about what this has meant to you.
Yeah, it's like really a great thing for us to do. And I think it's super important to continue doing this no matter what, because it's a great way for everyone who participates to bond. And I like that nobody feels left out. Everybody has a specific job to be doing. Hmm. And then the end result is just gorgeous. I love it.
I love that you brought that up, because that's sort of one of the goals of the Gen, is to help children be like in unity with each other. And so I love that you say that no one's left out, no one's excluded. Everybody has something that they do. And if there is someone that might be feeling like they're being left out or excluded or whatever, the role of a kid in the Gen, Francis, what would you do if you saw that there was, say, one girl kind of off by herself at something like this? What would a Gen do?
Well, you should always invite them over and say, you look really sad, you know.
Yes.
Or left out. You can come with us and give them out.
Right.
And if they say no, I mean, you should just kind of give them some personal space.
Right. You always have to respect. Sometimes people just need a minute of privacy to themselves, right? But that's one of the beautiful things about being in the Gen, is that the kids really try to do these acts of love, not only for other people, but for each other, so that everyone's always included in activities. And you really try to be a person who's a peacemaker. Jana, tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've experienced now. How many times you've done Baby Jesus? Three times? The Baby Jesus Project? 3 years?
Yeah, I've done the Baby Jesus Project for 3 years, and every single time it has been really, really fun. And it's also very cool.
What's the most fun thing about it for you?
I think the most fun thing about it is trying first to get the people's attention, and then secondly to, like, when they say, yes, sure, we'll take one of them, it's really happy. And especially when they put the money in your donation box.
Right.
And sometimes say, we really think what you're doing is good. So,
it's a beautiful, like you just said, it, you know, what you're doing is good. But, you know, sometimes I remember when I was a little girl, my mom used to say to me, you know, you get more out of giving things than you do out of getting things. Have you found that in doing all of this work? Because this is not a little thing for you kids. You spend weeks making them and wrapping them, and then you got to stand outside, and it's usually, in Chicago, it's cold, right? And so, Isabel, tell me about that a little bit, and because you had some really incredible things to say about how you thought you were doing a favor for the other people, but it turns out you feel like you got more back.
Mm-hmm. Even though it was, like, cold outside and it was really early, but it was still, like, it was worth it to see the people and how happy they were. And some people were even at tears when they received a Baby Jesus.
Yeah, you know, for some people, that might be the only kind of connection to Jesus they have during all of Christmas. And so when you think about that, that maybe this is someone, because you don't know what's going on in someone's life, right, Francis? You don't know if maybe they're sad, someone died in their family, or they're lonely. What kind of things, what's been your favorite part of doing it, Francis?
Well, I've loved a lot of parts of doing it, of the Baby Jesus Project, but I think my favorite part is when the people receive it and mm-hmm. they really like it, kind of like what Isabella mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when they say this is like good, what you're doing is good.
Right.
But sometimes people will be really kind of mean.
Now, tell me about that, because, you know, that I'm always kind of shocked when that happens. But you know what? We live in a big city and, you know, you have a lot of different kinds of people. What on earth do you do, Francis, we'll start with you, when someone doesn't want a baby Jesus figurine? And like, what would, if someone just says to you, no, I don't want that, how do you respond?
Well, in the gen, you always respect people. You're not going to snap back at them.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say, like, Merry Christmas, okay, thank you, or just like, okay, mm-hmm. bye, something
right.
like that.
Right. Have you, Yana, ever had an experience when someone did not want to take a baby Jesus figurine?
Well, I haven't. I have had an experience when somebody didn't want a baby Jesus figurine, but none of them were especially rude about it.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. What about you, Isabella?
I've never really had anybody, like, snap at me and tell me no.
Right.
But I think that if somebody does do that to you, mm-hmm. it's important to remember to be polite.
Right.
But also walk away with your head held high.
Right.
Don't be like pouting about it.
Right. And sometimes, you know, you have to just think, I remember when Francis first started in the gym, when you were like in kindergarten, honey, and I think we might have had some experiences with people who snapped. And one of you girls who was down there that day, she said, we should just say a prayer for that person because they must be very sad. And so we did that, and we really felt better then. Then we didn't feel bad anymore. And I remember one year where there was a big march of protesters who were coming through while we were giving out the baby Jesus figurines. And do you remember that time, Francis?
Yes. But also I remember one time, I think I was, I want to say six. But I might be wrong. I don't
yeah.
know. But there was two people, and there was a couple. And so the man wanted to take one, so he went up to us. But then the lady pulled him away and said, no, don't grab one.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of unusual. I remember when those protesters were coming through, and some of them were kind of snapping at the children. And they were angry about something else. It's not the kids' fault. That's why they were out protesting, because they were angry about something that had happened. But what was really beautiful, and we just said, kids, just let them march, and we'll just stand back here till they're done, and then we'll start giving out our baby Jesuses again. And two of the police officers who were there, you know, just kind of making sure everything was going to be okay, they came back, and they each gave us $20. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah, I do remember that.
That was wonderful that we were able. I think that was the year we were collecting money for kids in Haiti. And so that was a wonderfully generous donation. And the police officer said to us, thank you for being here and for being so peaceful and for trying to bring some joy and happiness to these people. So I was so glad that we were there that day, because maybe we were the only sort of happy thing that some people saw that day, right? So, okay, so let's go back a little bit to the different countries in the world that do this. Now, I know you all have seen some pictures of what kids in different countries do. You all have to do the baby Jesus figurines in exactly the same way in every country, or does the individual kind of country character come through depending on where you're giving them out?
No.
No. So you don't have to do them all the same?
No, because we all kind of have our different ways of doing things every time we do this project. And so in Peru, you know how they make like this really, really nice, colorful yarn?
Mm-hmm.
They make that yarn into like little blankets, and then they put them over the baby Jesus
yeah.
and then wrap them and
I've
give them
the
out.
I've seen the pictures of the ones, yeah, of the kids from Peru who make them. And I know that in some parts of Italy, they make almost like a little nativity set, and they, instead of a basket, they put Jesus in this little nativity set. So that's sort of neat as well. So the kids from the different countries, and in Bombay, India, they have a particular, I don't think they have hay there, so they do something else with the bedding for baby Jesus. So it's really neat to see the different things.
Yeah, they take paper.
Uh-huh.
And they, like, crumple it up. It's like green paper.
Uh-huh.
And then they crumple it up into little balls and put it in the basket, and then they lay down the baby Jesus.
Yeah, that is so fun. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the process for making them. So if, Jana, how, I know we talked about how long you have to pour in the plaster, and then you carve it and you put it together. Is the whole process for making them, is that as much fun as going down and giving them out? Which of the two do you like better? Or is it hard to tell?
I like them both in different ways because I like making them because you get to personalize yours. Like, not personalize yours, but you get to, I shred the hay really tiny and
right, you
put
go.
It in my basket.
I think I get small, a sense from you so. That it takes you a little longer to make yours.
Yeah.
That maybe. I think, you know, some of the boys don't take as much time as some of the girls do. Yes, Frances.
Well, you're really supposed to cut it up really small because A, it looks better, and B, when you wrap it and, like, there's these big hunks of hay sticking out everywhere, it's really hard to kind of wrap it, and it looks weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the I think that's what sometimes people don't realize is the great care and the amount of time that just goes into preparing all of this. So, well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how, if there's children listening now or parents who want their kids to become involved, and how they can do it this year and join you all. And we'll do that after we get back from our break. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Don't go away.
The organ creates the soundtrack for the liturgy. The organ is called the King of the Instruments because of its majesty and power. You can help restore the great organ at St. Stanislaus Kostka by attending an organ recital Sunday, January 13th at 3 p.m. at St. Stan's, featuring the works of little-known Polish composers. The organist is Jeremy Kilbasa, a descendant of one of the founders of the parish, Peter Kilbasa. Your free will offering will go toward the organ's restoration Sunday, January 13th at 3 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change, one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on listener-supported AM 750 WNDZ. And I am joined today by 3 fifth-grade girls from St. Luke's School in River Forest, Illinois. And I didn't even ask you girls, kind of, what's the best thing about fifth grade so far? Don't all talk at once. Tell me, Isabella.
My favorite thing about fifth grade is like how much it actually changed from fourth grade, because fifth grade is kind of the middle, and it's getting used to all the perks of being an older kid and stuff.
Right, so you go from wearing like the little kid uniforms to wearing the bigger girl uniforms in fifth grade, right? So that's kind of a big step. And then what's different about your classes? Do you change classes more in fifth grade than you did as a fourth grader?
No. Well, you don't really change more, but in sixth grade, right now we're practicing on carrying our backpacks to different specials. From social studies to science, we do that. And then back to math. And so it's basically the same as it was in fourth grade, except this year we're wearing skirts, which is a lot more comfortable than those jumpers.
Right, the little girl jumpers. So, and Yana, what's the thing that you like most about St. Luke's School?
I really like the library because there are a lot of books. That I like to read. And they have a whole section on religion. And
so God's really a big part of your day-to-day life as a student at St. Luke. Do you start the day every day by praying? Yeah. In your classroom or as a group?
In your classroom.
Yeah.
In your classroom. And you can probably pray for, like, if you have any special intentions or something, do you get to mention those so everyone can pray together?
Yeah, we get to mention those. It's really nice.
That's a wonderful thing. And you go to Mass once a week together, I know. And
well, it's not really once a week. We switch off with the younger kids and older kids.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then there's like big Masses that everyone has to go to.
Right.
We also have kindergarten partners that we have to take to Mass every once in a while.
Okay. So you help to mentor some of the younger kids at school. You know what? One of the things I love about St. Luke Parish School is that on All Saints Day, all of the second graders who are going to be making their first communion dress up as a different saint. That's always a very fun Mass to go to because you try to guess who everyone is dressed up at. Isabella, do you remember the saint that you dressed up as?
I remember I dressed up as Saint Isabella of France.
Okay, for Queen Isabella, right?
Queen Isabella,
and now Saint Isabella, Francis, who were you?
I was Saint Joan of Arc.
Oh, very cool. So did you get to bring a sword or a horse with you or anything?
No, they would not
No weapons.
That.
Yeah, you couldn't bring the weapon in church, but you were Joan of Arc. Yes, and who were you, Isabella? Or sorry, Yana.
I was Mary Mystical Rose, and I remember that very well because I did a whole lot of research. I knew I wanted to be Mary. I just wasn't sure which title of Mary.
Right,
I wanted
because there's
to
many
be.
Titles of Mary. Right.
So I did a lot of research and. We had to put together those little essays for it. We wrote essays and drew pictures and did a lot of studying on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that's always a really good thing because it's not like you just dress up as the saint. You really have to do a lot of research about them. So, well, speaking of prayer and things that we do every prayer, part of being in the Gen and in the Focolare is living out something every month called the Word of Life. Francis, can you tell us about the Word of Life and how we try to live that?
So the Word of Life is, it's this monthly little sheet of paper. Well, it's more than just a sheet of paper. But
we learn about it on a sheet of paper.
Yes.
Right.
And so this month it is Rejoice in the Lord Always. I also just went to the retreat. And it was giving is better than receiving.
Right. So, yeah, let's talk about that. How is it, especially when we're talking about the Baby Jesus Project and all the work you guys have to do to give them out, let's talk about how you have learned that giving is actually better than receiving.
Well, on my dad's birthday, he had lost the scarf I had knit him before.
I remember that, yes.
And so I knit him the exact, I'd knit him another one, and it took me 2 months, but I finally finished it.
My goodness.
And so, I was actually very excited to give it to him because I knew that, or at least I hoped that he would be happy.
Right.
When I gave it to him, and on October 30th, I gave it to him, and he, was really surprised. And
so
he
that's
loved
a very
it.
Beautiful act of love, and that took you a long time, you know, to do that. And so
last time it took 6 months, but that's because I was slower at knitting. I got better.
So when we're living out, so rejoice in the Lord always is sort of a scripture verse that we call the Word of Life, and then we try to in our everyday life to think about that. And, you know, it's amazing how if you really pay attention to what's going on in your day, at some point in your day, you will have an opportunity to try to rejoice in the Lord. So I just always find that every month, I don't know who's in charge of picking out the Word of Life scriptures every month, but someone's very attentive and really picks out things that make a lot of sense to people. And Isabella, you're shaking your head. Yes. Have you had any experiences with, you know, doing an act of love for someone that, you know, has really made you feel so much better about giving?
I have. When I get presents, it's like I'm super happy and all, but like when for my dad's birthday, I got him a new softball glove.
Wow.
And it was like coming from just me.
My goodness.
And it made me feel a lot better than when I was getting presents for my birthday.
Right.
And that made me realize how important it is to give presents and not receive.
Right. And how is it different? How is the feeling that you get different?
It just makes you feel like you're making somebody else happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it makes me feel so much better than getting a present because, like, it's good to get presents and you're happy when you get them, but it's even better to give others presents.
Right.
And I like seeing how happy people get when they receive them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Let's kind of tie that back into the Baby Jesus Project. Again, listeners, that's going to be happening on this Saturday, December 15th, starting at about 12 noon in two different locations in front of the old Water Tower building down near Water Tower Place at Chestnut and Michigan Avenue. And then in the Oak Park Mall, right at the corner of Marion and Westgate, which would be right off of Lake Street, near the store 10,000 Villages. And we're going to be standing there and we're going to be giving out Baby Jesus figurines in beautiful little handmade creches to shoppers as they pass by. And any donations that we receive from people, there is certainly no charge for the Baby Jesus figurines. But if someone, you know, because they have experienced now this gift, want to turn around and give something back to someone else, we will be collecting funds for children in Syria, which is a terribly war-torn country. And so I want to talk just kind of overall in general. Let's talk about why this is so important. How has being involved in the Baby Jesus Project changed you? Isabella, let's start with you.
Well, now that I'm in the Baby Jesus Project and I'm involved, it makes me want to go out and do more of these things because, like, it's super important to remember that Christmas is about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And as I walk around his stores, like, there's not as many Baby Jesuses in stores
mm-hmm.
as there are angels and snowflakes and other Christmas decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me realize, like, how much we need to bring it to people's attention that Christmas is Jesus' birthday.
Right.
And it's about Jesus.
Right. And it's Jesus, you know, it's so funny because it's Jesus' birthday, but by the same token, he's the birthday boy, right? And it's like he's excluded from his own birthday. So, yes, Francis.
So I feel like people are just so drawn into the excitement of giving gifts and getting gifts
mm-hmm.
and all the Christmas shopping. And, like, stores do Christmas so early. Like,
well,
I remember I was walking around in Costco
uh-huh.
because we were getting some things. And I saw Christmas trees up in September.
Yes, isn't it? Yeah, and because Christmas has become so driven by retailers, right? So this is when, that's why they call Black Friday Black Friday, is because it's when stores go into what they call the black. And when stores finally start to turn a profit, it's because of what they're selling on Black Friday there.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, I think that's a very good point, Francis. Now, you know, we have the commercial part of, you know, buying and selling and get this and this and this.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny how there seems to be so much emphasis if you get this toy or this iPhone or these AirPods or these, that'll make you happy. But what is the message of the Baby Jesus Project? It's pretty different from material things, isn't it, Yana?
Yes.
How so?
So I think that basically when you're giving out these Baby Jesuses,
right.
Sure they are material things, but they also bring to mind the actual meaning of Christmas.
Mm.
And some people don't really pay attention to that
right.
until we go and hand these out.
Right, until you're there reminding them of that. Yes, Frances.
So I feel like Christmas has really just become, like, Jesus was the person who started Christmas. It was the day of his birth, and that's really important for Catholics to remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this holiday has just become more of shopping, giving gifts, and...
Right. Well, let's talk about then I was asking you, you know, how participating in the Baby Jesus Project has changed you. I know for me, when we started doing it, it's made me really more aware, I guess, when we go to give them out, that there's a lot of people that don't even understand that Christmas is about Jesus's birthday. And you kind of find that out. And then there's a lot of people who might not have anybody to invite them to come to church on Christmas or, you know, invite them to learn more about Jesus or even remember that Christmas has something to do with Jesus. And I think sometimes when you hand someone one of those figurines, even though that's sometimes kind of a hard thing to do, the person stops and thinks, wow, look at this. Look at these kids. They're kids. They're out in the cold. They're taking a Saturday afternoon off when they could be doing something fun to give me a baby Jesus to remind me that Jesus loves me. And so to be able to do that for someone else, I know that for me has made me think, wow, I'm always surprised by the number of people who are just shocked that there's kids that are willing to do that. Have you found that?
Well, yes, I think so. When people come by, I guess they're pretty shocked that, like, you know, usually kids would be like going sledding with their friends or like having play dates or doing something besides this.
Right, right.
But they're not doing that. They are out here giving out these figurines, and I think people really enjoyed it, and it changed me. Just noticing that I feel like it not just reminds the other people, but it really reminds you, too, that Christmas, even though we may get excited about getting gifts, and giving them to, that it's about Jesus, and that's only, like, in Santa Claus, and, like, that's only, like, a small portion of it. This is all about Jesus's birth, though.
Right. And Isabella, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think it's, like, really special for me when I give somebody a baby Jesus, and I think that some people are actually, like, motivated or inspired by us giving it to them, and they feel like they want to now go into the world and give and do more good things. And
right.
I think it's important for people to remember that Christmas isn't about getting gifts or shopping. It's about Jesus' birthday and giving to others.
Right. That's and about really trying to celebrate his birth. So, well, we're going to go into our final break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about how each of you celebrate Christmas in your own families, and we're going to tell other kids who might be listening how they can come and join you on Saturday in bringing Christ to others for Christmas. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in here today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Please stay tuned.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. How did St. Nicholas become the patron saint of sailors? Well, when I was a young man, I made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, visiting all the holy sites, including the humble cave in Bethlehem. During our return voyage from the Mediterranean seaport of Caesarea, a sudden, violent storm threatened the lives of everyone on board, reminding the passengers and crew how Jesus once calmed the Sea of Galilee, I invited everyone to join me in prayer to the Lord. Then, miraculously, the sea became calm. After our safe return, people started asking me to pray with them for a safe voyage. And so, that's how I became the patron saint of sailors, as well as the special friend of children during this joyous season, when we proclaim, Christ is born, glorify him.
Welcome back. Well, this hour has really flown by. I have been speaking with three fifth graders from St. Luke's School in River Forest, Illinois, Yana and Isabella and Francis, and we've been talking about really incredibly fun and very meaningful event that's going to be taking place this Saturday, December 15th, called the Baby Jesus Project, and it's going to be happening all over the world. That's the really neat part of this, is that it's an international project. Kids from every major city in Europe and Africa and Asia and South America take part in this, and they create custom figurines of the child Jesus and then go to wherever the major shopping areas are in there where they live, and then give them out to shoppers and passersby. So we'll be in two locations in the Chicagoland area. We'll be in downtown Oak Park. We'll be at the corner of Marion and Westgate. And then we'll be in front of the old water tower down at Michigan Avenue and Chestnut Streets near the Water Tower Mall, giving out handmade, custom created baby Jesus figurines inside little baskets for people to put under their trees or to keep on their mantle to help them keep Christ in Christmas. And so, girls, tell me, if there are kids listening, or maybe parents who are listening, and they're saying, wow, this is really cool, is this just for kids from St. Luke's or just for kids from the Focal Area, or can other kids participate?
No, this is really anyone can join them. Anyone can really be part of the gen.
Right. And anybody can show up and help with the Baby Jesus Project if they want to, can't they?
Yes.
So if
I think you have to check in, though.
Yeah, you someone. Do. Yes. Wait, what we do obviously need a permission slip, but anyone's welcome to come to St. Luke School at about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we'll check you in and we'll introduce you to the other kids. And if you don't know anybody, is that going to be a problem, Isabella?
No, that's definitely not a problem, because that's what Jen is all about.
Right.
We welcome others, right. And we're just inviting you to actually come. We would love it if you would join us.
Yes.
The more the merrier.
Right, the more the merrier. And we'll have plenty of baby Jesus figurines. We've made a lot, a couple of hundred, but we're going to be making more this week, aren't we?
Yeah, you also, I think you need to bring your own baskets.
Right.
But
if you don't, if you just show up yourself, we'll find something for you, right? Because yeah. We have to get a big basket to put the little baskets in, right, so we can hand them out. And it's always fun if you want to bring a Santa hat or some, you know, an ugly Christmas sweater or something. We always dress up and make it really fun for everyone. Yes, Yana?
So after we finish handing out the baby Jesus things, we go with our collection box to this nice little place mm-hmm. where they have hot chocolate, because we're all freezing cold by
right.
that
That's
time.
True. That is true.
And we count all of our money and then Starbucks.
Yeah, we count how much. Yeah, sometimes we get hot chocolate from Starbucks. One year, the manager at Starbucks was so kind to us and donated hot chocolates to all the kids who participated that day, and everyone got a free hot chocolate. So that was very generous of them. And but we'll be going back for a little Advent party back to St. Luke Parish School afterwards, and we'll have some games, and we'll have some Christmas music and snacks and hot chocolate. So it's really a fun afternoon, and everybody just loves it so much. So I want to ask you, girls, so again, you're giving up a few, you know, weeks before Christmas, you start making these things. Then you spend a whole day on a Saturday doing this. Is this something, I mean, do you really look forward to it? Or are you like, oh, I got to do this baby Jesus thing because my parents really want me to do it? How do you feel about it personally?
I really look forward to it. I can't wait for this Saturday. I really think it's a fun time just to get, not only getting together with your friends and your family and giving them out, but really just, you know, as we mentioned before, seeing their faces as we gave one out to them, and they were really happy.
Right. People just love it, don't they? They really do. And Isabel, how do you feel about it every year when, you know, you get that reminder, oh, you know, maybe Jesus Project is coming soon?
It's like a really fun thing. I look forward to it. I don't see it as a chore because it's something that I think we all become better friends when we do the Baby Jesus Project together. No matter how cold outside it is, we don't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
We think about what good we're doing
right.
and how much it's going to actually impact us and change us.
Wow, that's a very beautiful thing to say. And Yana, how do you feel about it when you know it's coming up and, you know, you think, oh boy, it's going to be cold. Do you remember how cold it was some years, or do you kind of forget about that and think, you know what, I don't even care about that?
Yeah, I forget about the cold, and I mostly focused on handing them out and I really look forward to this.
Yes.
One of the first things I think when I know that Advent is coming up, when we get out the Advent wreath, I think, oh, yeah, we're going to do the Baby Jesus Project soon.
Right. So that reminds you of it. Yeah. So, well, let's just talk in the couple of minutes that we have left. You're all from very different kind of backgrounds and cultures and things, and I'd love to hear about how each of you celebrate Christmas in your homes. But Francis, I know there was something that you really wanted to say.
So there's a YouTube video.
Oh, great.
About
thank you so much for reminding me of that. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Okay, so you can go onto YouTube and you can look up, like, it's like the Baby Jesus Project. I think if you just look that up.
If you Google, yeah, Baby Jesus Project Chicago.
On YouTube.
Right. You can see videos about what the figurines look like.
Well, not only that, but it shows us giving them out.
Right.
I think it was when I was six.
Yes.
I'm in there.
Yeah, and that was the year when we had that incredibly bad cold snap in Chicago. I will never forget that. And there were cars literally frozen to the to the sidewalks because it was just so horribly cold. So I remember that, Francis. That's a very good point. And then you can also learn more about Chiara Lubick, or you can learn more about the Focolare. That's spelled F-O-C-O-L-A-R-E, Focolare. It means family fireplace or family hearth in Italian. And so let's talk a little bit. So Isabella, you were telling me you speak Spanish and English at home. How do we say Merry Christmas in Spanish?
Merry Christmas in Spanish is Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Is there anything that your family does that might be different from, say, our family at Christmas? How do you celebrate?
Well, we always visit my grandfather in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Usually both sides of the family.
How nice.
And we have a big dinner there. And sometimes we incorporate, like, Spanish dishes.
Wow.
And we each try to, like, help out with dinner.
Uh-huh.
And we all remind each other if people are getting, like, distracted, we all remind each other that Christmas is about growing, like, getting a better bond.
Right.
And it's about Jesus, and we talk about that a lot at the dinner table.
Wow, that's really beautiful. Are there any special foods that you would eat that are kind of interesting or unusual or that you might not see? Do you do tamales at Christmas? I know.
Grandma likes to make Christmas tamales.
Yes, yes.
And my grandfather, sometimes he'll make a big paella.
Oh, yeah.
For Christmas.
Oh, that's good. I know that there's a lot of stores now that have kind of picked up that tradition, which I think comes from Mexico, of having the tamales at Christmas, and they're so good. We really like those. Yana, tell me about how do we say, I know your family is partly from Germany and partly from the Philippines. So why don't you tell me in Tagalog, which is what they speak in the Philippines, how do you say Merry Christmas?
Well, actually, there's a whole song they use, but you say Merry Christmas by saying Maligayang Pasko.
Oh, beautiful. And you know what is so interesting about the Philippines, I think it was your mom who told me this, that the people in the Philippines love Christmas so much. When do they start decorating?
They start decorating in August.
In August. So Frances got upset because she saw Christmas decorations in Costco in September. Frances, I don't think you could live in the Philippines. I think that would be too stressful for you if they're decorating in August. That sounds wonderful. And Frances, do you want to quickly say anything that we do?
Well, I feel like we just kind of celebrate a regular...
kind of like a usual American Christmas. Although we always have fruitcake because Grandma and Grandpa are from Scotland, so we always have a good fruitcake. And sometimes we have plum pudding, and we always get oranges in our stockings. That's the other thing. Well, listen, this has been a wonderful hour. It has gone by very quickly. So grateful to all of you for wanting to learn more about the Baby Jesus Project and for staying with us for the hour. If you'd like to learn more about how you can be involved in the Focolare, just Google F-O-C-O-L-A-R-E, Focolare, or the Baby Jesus Project to learn more. This has been Mary Fiorito sitting in today here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Have a great week.
We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The